This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Lou Roberts.
This is Tyrese Campbell.
And you're listening to the Every Step Along the Way podcast.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome back to the Every Step Along the Way podcast. Hope you're doing all right. Oh, these Twitter spaces are becoming a little bit too common, if you ask me. I think anyone who's new to the podcast will kind of understand that this isn't something we do all the time. We pretty much reserve the spaces for obviously things like new managers, new signings and stuff like that during the summer and obviously January window. And yeah, these are coming all too common, actually, which is not for a good reason, unfortunately. But look, I know it's going to be a busy one tonight. I mean, for anyone who's obviously listening on the playback, I'm anticipating this is going to be probably around half an hour-ish. I think there's a lot of people who want to probably have their say.
Famous last words.
Famous last words, absolutely, Mr. Buxton, yeah. But some questions I think I want you all to probably think about, and you're very much welcome to leave your comments. We've had 4 comments already, so you don't need to speak. We've obviously got a couple of people speaking tonight, some more people joining shortly. But a few questions that I want you to think about and leave your comments in. So first one, was it the right decision? I think we might know the answer to that one, right? But to start, was it the right decision? Second to that, does anyone else have to shoulder some blame here? Third one, who would you like to come in next? Do you actually think, can you think of anybody else? We've seen a few names mentioned today and a couple of things mentioned to us, but nothing concrete. And obviously, what do you make of Johnny Walters coming in? I think that one was a little bit left field as well. So very keen to see what you guys all think. If you want to speak, absolutely speak. But otherwise, just leave the comments down below. I think it'd be really interesting to get everyone's thoughts on today's movement anyway. Now, I'm not quite as normal perky myself, just to stress, I had about 3.5 hours sleep last night, and I've been at a works evening do / party thing for pretty much all day, so you'll have to bear with me. But look, I guess the first place to start, Mr. Buxton, I mean, funny enough, we were actually discussing similar scenario to that on tomorrow's pod, or depending on when you're listening to it, obviously Friday release. We were talking about, you know, the time, who's to blame, etc. It's quite interesting to listen back when you're editing that, actually, in hindsight. But probably come a little bit sooner than anyone expected, would you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we were sort of addressing rumours, weren't we? And I think this sort of information shows that, you know, all was not well within the camp. You know, the rumours that hinted at that were obviously onto something. I think there are still, of every large scale of said rumours that maybe didn't have the weight behind them still, shall we say, or need more to come out to be classed as correct at this stage. So, yeah, we were sort of discussing that, weren't we? And I didn't think that we, at that point, thought that the club would have moved this quickly. Yeah, and obviously they must have had something in mind, because like I say, Johnny Walters come straight in there, replaced him even in an interim basis, probably until the summer, I imagine. So, yeah, it's, you know, one out, new guy straight in there. So maybe even, you know, been on John Coates' radar for a little while.
And I'll bring in one of our other speakers, Dan. So straight up and down, thanks for joining us, mate. I guess you're probably, I imagine, relatively surprised that it came this quick, and I'm keen to see, why do you think that the club have acted now instead of just waiting to the summer? I wonder what that trigger's been.
Right. In terms of what the trigger is, I mean, I can only say so much. I mean, you're as well having a look at the story on Team Talk in terms of, stuff that's come out in the public in terms of what people's opinions of Ricky Martin were and the rest of it. Personally, I think it's a good idea to get the ball rolling now and bring in John Walters. Ricky Martin was in the middle of planning for pre-season, so he was like booking teams, booking pre-season friendlies, things like that. And if anyone remembers the Benidorm trip, it was a bit of a mess. It was a bit of a car crash. As much as there were positives that they were on about in the meet and greet and whatever the other night in terms of the under-21s got to play with the first team and this, that and the other, they got to assess everyone together, it was a bit of a mess, that tour was. And it did set us back a bit at the start of the season. And there was messing about in terms of travelling to other countries to look at players and things like that while that was going on. And it was pretty shambolic. For me personally, I think it's a good idea to get him out now, bring in someone who's just purely going to be looking at, you know, I mean, let's get it right. John Walters now, he's going to have, you know, the microscope is going to be on Schumacher. They need to get everyone who's involved in the first team pulling in the right direction and get us over the line and make sure we don't go down, basically. He's going to be there to basically sort that out and also sort out what he can for pre-season, you know, pick up where Ricky Martin's left off, basically, so that we're not coming to August and we're up shit creek, basically. We need to get the ball rolling now, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's important as well to probably just, you know, go back to something that that Dan mentioned. The rumours that were coming out, right? I mean, I'm not going to spend forever on this rumour stuff because I think it's, I mean, some of the crap that was quite frankly spouted on social media, right? I'll address it head on. So some of the nonsense that was spouted was utterly ridiculous. I'm talking to the point of saying that he's chosen Schumacher's team. For you, if does anyone in the right mind think that he's left Plymouth to come to Stoke to have a director of football tell him who to play and where to play? Utterly, utterly ridiculous. And I just think when we've, you know, we're not in a great position at this club. There are a lot of things wrong. Clearly, Ricky was one of them. Now, do we really need fans spouting rubbish and spreading more hate and more negatives constantly? Is that going to help anyone? The answer is absolutely not. So, yeah, clearly Ricky wasn't liked. Clearly, whatever has gone wrong in terms of his recruitment strategy has clearly gone wrong in a big, big way. I mean, I don't know about you, mate, but we were sat there at QPR, and we basically listed every signing that we'd made. And genuinely, we got a few. I think we got Junior, Berger. Please keep me honest here. Again, I've been a long day. Junior, Berger. Who else did we sign that's worth keeping around? Probably keep Gooch around. I think he's probably a good one in terms of a squad place. And no doubt I am absolutely missing some people here. But basically, what I'm trying to get at, there was about four or five, and that was a stretch. Beyond that, Juno, you know, people like that. Beyond that, we can turn around and say that we wouldn't miss the rest of them, which is such a damning indictment, isn't it, really? I mean, how are we in a scenario where we've signed 19-plus players, obviously more now because of January? And we wouldn't be bothered if 95% of the squad went. It says that it's obviously an absolute farce. And this is what I'm saying about, like, with Ricky. Yeah, he's gone. Probably the right decision by the sounds of things. We've had enough characters that we don't want to see around. It's not going to call poison. I think that's unfair because none of us actually know Ricky, right? We're going off reports. But we've had enough of that at this club. We have suffered long enough. So if there's anyone at this club that's like that, I don't care if you're the director of football, I don't care if you're the cleaner, you're at the wrong club for me. So I think the only thing I would probably ask here, I mean, Dan, I'll bring you in just briefly, and then we'll go to Jake and Elliot as well. And obviously, straight up and down, I will be back to you, mate. So what did you make to this whole thing? We've talked about these rumours. We've talked about whether we think it's right or wrong. I think a lot of people would agree that it's right. I'm just keen to kind of get your thoughts on, is anyone else to blame here, right? Now, Ricky obviously has got to take the blame for recruitment. Let's forget the off the stuff, you know, personality, all that. Let's go to the recruitment, right? He's got to take blame. But surely Jared Dublin has got to sit there and take some blame as well. Like, he's the man who's been out and scouting, and his team scouting the players and getting involved in that. So has Jared Dublin got to be looking over his shoulder a little bit?
Well, the thing is, it depends how much he was listened to, doesn't it? Like, Jared Dublin could have done the scouting. His team may have prepared the lists, the long lists, the short lists, for all kinds of positions and whatever, and gone, these are your players, these are your best options, these fit your, you know, the credentials and everything that you were asking for. And who's to say that Ricky Martin didn't just have one slight look at it and go, nah, I'm going to go my own players, or I'll pick this guy instead. So I think it all depends on that, doesn't it? The fact he is there and Ricky Martin isn't, and it's a lot of the removal may come down to criticism of recruitment, maybe. If that is the case and Jared Dublin's still there, it would suggest that there is something else, like that may, like I say, maybe Dublin wasn't listened to. And maybe the signings, although identified possibly by Dublin, like I say, in a, maybe a long list of potential signings, wouldn't have been his best candidates, if you like.
Without going too far into it, I wonder if it's worth just having a quick recap of the kind of pedigree that some of the people involved in the recruitment and scouting have got at the club, compared with, like, say, the pedigree of other appointments that have been made in the past couple of years. I mean, Jared Dublin was involved with Paul Mitchell at Sheffield United, where the pair of them obviously built a team that got to the Premier League, stayed in the Premier League, came down, went back up again, worked under Paul Heckingbottom, Slavisa Jukanovic, Chris Wilder. I mean, if you have a quick look on the Sheffield Star website and do a search for Jared Dublin and Paul Mitchell's names on there, you've got nothing but gushing praise for the pair of them. I believe the rest of the scouting recruitment team, I think it's Andrew Frost, who's been involved with the academy since around 2005, 2006. Ian Turner, who's involved with some of the youth scouting. He's come from Colchester United, from what I understand. And there's another guy, Rupesh Popat, I think his name is, who's been all over, like, grassroots football in Germany. He's been at Fulham, Millwall. He's been a youth scout at Werder Bremen. I think some of these, you know, some of the guys who we've got looking for players, I think the recruitment side of things looking all right, to be honest with you. It's a case of who's above that, who's involved in sort of squad building and planning, and, you know, what is the football club meant to look like? And that's what Ricky Martin's job was.
Would you say that Ricky was underqualified? Because I think for me, when I looked at Ricky's background, it didn't scream highly accomplished director of football. And I think that, and when I say that, I mean, I'm also very much aware that we were not aware of who would actually interview for the job. For all as we know, Ricky was the best person to interview for the job at the time. you know, we've had managers who have presented really well and been a flop. So why not a director of football, right? So, yeah, I guess I don't think he was ever up to it. If I look at it, it's just as purely his background as it is. I won't claim to know the first thing about being a director of football. I don't think any of us would. But I do question when you look at the background, you know, like now, we all probably want an accomplished, level-headed, you know, I think about the qualities really, guys, I suppose. I want a proven director of football, like I said, level-headed. Someone who's not got a big ego, who's not going to go around the club saying, you know, basically do this or, you know, your head will roll. Like, we don't need idiots like that. We need a good football philosophy, I think, as well. I mean, I joke privately about, well, not much of a joke, I wouldn't kick up a fuss, but, you know, Tony Pulis's name mentioned, would he come back as director of football? And look, I love Tony. I think he's great. But I think philosophy comes into this here. Is it, would you want somebody like Tony in there with Schumacher's style of play? Probably not. So I think that needs to match up as well. And I think very importantly, again, the Plymouth director of football was mentioned. In no way can we have, even if, and they fell out, but even if that's not the case, we cannot have another director of football that's connected to our manager. Because we know what happens. We're going to sack Schumacher at some point in the future. It's going to happen. And if we bring anyone in who's connected to him, what's going to happen again? Another overhaul, another change behind the scenes. We need to get away from that. It's not doing us any favours.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely on that one. I think we need to look for someone who's experienced. I think it was on Rob Adcock's space earlier. They were saying we need to be looking at someone with kind of Championship and Premier League experience. I think that's bang on, really. Someone who's been around the block. Someone who, I mean, if Schumacher is to stay and we're putting our eggs in that basket, then it needs to be someone that he can sort of look to for advice. Someone who's going to be a wise old head, basically. In the same way that, you know, John Rudge was for various managers that we had over the years.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This has got to be, if this takes, and maybe this is why they brought, you know, Johnny in terms of temporary, maybe this has got to be something that it takes months to get this done. Now, I don't know if any names come to mind for anyone, right? I mean, we'll go through the comments in a second. I'm conscious there's 12 of them, but this isn't like a football where if, you know, you need a new left back, you can go out and pick out 10 different left backs. You know what I mean? We're not in that situation. This is going to very much come down to John Coates and the Coates family as a whole. John, I hope, feels the pressure tonight. I'm sure he does, which is obviously why he pulled the trigger, I think. I think he was no doubt feeling the pressure there. But, you know, he's got to get this right. No more half-measured decisions. No one who's inexperienced. No more testing the boundaries on, you know, oh, is he young, up and coming, so and so. I don't care. Like, we're past that now. We've had years and years of failure. Time for failure needs to stop. We, you know, nothing is a sure thing in football. We all know that. But this is probably, bar the manager, this is the biggest decision that he's probably had to make.
Yeah, I'll just come in, obviously, looking at the comments. Obviously, Elliot, to come to you next. So, Martin Eagle says, why did John Coates allow Ricky Martin this much supposed control? Who's advising him? Today's sacking is just the tip of the iceberg for me. So, Elliot, I'll sort of come to you there. Do you think that John Coates has give Ricky Martin too much control? Is the point of Ricky Martin's role for him to have a lot of control? How do you see this sort of progressing with the next man through the door with it?
Yeah, I think he has been given too much control. I don't think there was ever really a sort of plan at Stoke. We've been saying that for years. I think we always try to be like really bold and make a really big decision, but there's no strategy behind any of those decisions. And I think he was given too much control for that. It was basically, I think, him and Neil were the two people. So you're talking about sort of, oh, who's he maybe interviewed? in my personal opinion, and he might have done, so I'm not speculating, but I don't think anyone was interviewed for that job and they basically gave it to him because of Alex Neil. So, yeah, I think he was given too much control. I don't think it was thought through properly in terms of CVs and, you know, what he's done beforehand. But, yeah, it was too much control. And I think you can kind of tell, I think, little bits of the club where you look at our squad so far. I don't think there was one thing. So, like Man City, for instance, or Newcastle, they'll have somebody in charge of transfers and go, right, I want you to get me a left back or who does this, and then they'll come back and then say, right, we've got a bunch of left backs for you, we could go with this. Whereas at Stoke, I think there's something along the thing of, oh, we need a centre midfielder. Jared Dublin's maybe got like an 11-page sort of slideshow, but Neil's gone for Daniel Johnson instead. So you can kind of tell in our squad that I don't think 100% of it was Dublin, and I think a lot of it was Martin and Neil together. So, like, and also if you look at the squad, they didn't play Chamadou a lot, and he's probably been our best defender, and the rest of them have been pretty shocking, which kind of tells you everything you know. Michael Rose was probably linked in January, so yeah, it's a little bit weird. I think it's just kind of, yeah, definitely too much control, and it should have been a 100% Jared Dublin thing. And that might have been what would have happened, but just from looking at the squad and looking at, you can tell that there are Neil signings and there are Dublin signings. The Dublin signings, you can tell that's a Bajan Ho, that's a Wouter Burger, Ryan Mai. And Neil signings, you can tell they're Daniel Johnson's, Michael Rose's. And the only one I think who has performed who would be a class as a Neil signing, I think, has been Gooch. So, yeah, I think there was too much control and there should have been more sort of emphasis on saying, right, you do the transfers, we'll stick to the football side on the pitch.
Yeah, so who do you think then is or should be in charge of appointing Ricky Martin's replacement? So, obviously, I personally don't feel the manager should be anywhere near it. But, you know, how do you feel?
Thankfully, it's not my decision, so I'm kind of glad about that. But it's a very tough one. I think the owner is the guy who says yes or no in this one. I think he's the one who has the final say because he's at the top. I think the manager and them have to get along, but I think that somebody else should decide whether that should happen for them. Then, like, who else is there really other than the owner? Because there's not really sort of anyone else other than like the technical director, owner, and then you probably have somebody else in there, but I'm not really too sure what they do. So I think it has to come down to the owner, which is kind of worrying because John hasn't got many decisions right in the past. So, yeah, I think it's probably got to come down to the owner, but we'll see. I think the manager will have a say in it, but I don't think he'll have a majority say. I think the owner's going to have the majority say.
See, for the comment that I've just made earlier, though, I think it's important that the manager does have some form of say. I'd slightly disagree with you, Dan. Oh, not entirely. And again, I think that's important as a definition. He does not have the final say. But I think that philosophy I mentioned, there's no point having a disconnect there. They've got to work together. The manager still has to approve anything that comes in. So there's no point bringing somebody in who's going to have a completely different idea about what Schumacher wants, because I think that's not going to help. So I do think we do. I agree with you, Elliot. I think John's going to have to make the decision. I wouldn't even, you know, I know it's a slightly different area and it's not really football related, but even Simon King, like, Simon knows football, yes, off the pitch, but Simon knows football. I'd even get him involved in these situations. He must have been around a number of director of footballs and stuff like that in his time. You know, let's use the people we've got at the club.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be a football person, though. I think it has to. I think from Ricky Martin, I'm not saying that he wasn't a quote football person, but I mean, looking at that kind of background, there wasn't much to suggest that he knew what he was talking about in some of these instances. So I think we need to get somebody with a bit more of a football pedigree, like Arsenal, for instance, in that documentary, they had Edu who played for them. I'm not saying it has to be a former player. I'm just saying that they have so much, like, they live and breathe football. I don't think that Martin's that kind of person. It was more like a job to him rather than, I mean, obviously it's a job, but I mean, it's more like a job to him rather than a sort of his big sort of thing. So that's just the way from what I see it personally, as I look at someone like Arsenal, at Arsenal where you have Edu, and there's such a big passion for him, and you can see how in depth he is and how much he enjoys it. I mean, I put a tweet out about Bojan. I don't think that'll happen, but do you know what? Me and my mate were talking about this. When about 2 years ago we were saying about O'Neill, and we were basically saying, oh yeah, he'd be a great director of football, but not so much in the management. So something like that would be fantastic, but I don't think we'll get him, obviously. But he had like a philosophy to say, this is the way that I want to play. This is what I want to do with the infrastructure, with the youth team and things like that. So there's even an option to say maybe him, but I don't think he'd take it after the way that we let him go. So yeah, I mean, there'll be options out there for sure, but we've got to get the right one.
How about Gareth Owen? Because I know a lot of times you mention Edu there, it's people who maybe work their way up the structure. And obviously he got the footballing side, but also the administrative side of being the academy director. Is it a natural progression for him to move into that role?
Well, we nearly let him go, don't we?
Well, yeah, with Martin as well. I think it's...
Why was that, I wonder?
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's weird. He sacked him, couldn't find anyone, and then brought him back again. I mean, if I was Gaz, I would have told him to, you know, do one. But yeah, I think Gaz is so good at the academy stuff. I think he loves sort of like that kind of, from what I've heard and spoken to him, he loves kind of developing players, and that's his big passion. So I don't know if he'd go into the sort of the more senior role where it's kind of more overseeing the transfers and everything else. So I don't know about Gaz, but yeah, it's just somebody who would like live and breathe football, or has a philosophy of like what they want to do, what the club is and things like that. What they want the club to be and things like that. So yeah, I think there'll definitely be options out there, but like I said before, just you've got to get the right one now. Like, no fucking about.
Yeah, if I was John Coates, to be honest, I'd be straight on the phone to Matthew Benham, Tony Bloom, David Wilkinson at Luton, Mike O'Leary at Ipswich, Darren McAntony at Peterborough, and just picking the brains. Just be like, look, you guys you've built stuff over sort of 5, 6, 7 years. You know, you've obviously got good guys behind you. How do we go, you know, how do we do what you've done?
Mm.
You know, we've got the money.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I do agree with you. I think looking at sort of what we've done, it's a bit like sitting on a winning lottery ticket at times. Because, you know, we've got the funds, we've got, you know, a good recruitment team, in my opinion, but it's just not being used in the right way. So I think if there's something where we just go, okay, this is going to be used in the right way now, then we'd be absolutely fine as a football club because we've got all the resources necessary. It's a bit like, it's kind of that like that old saying of just because you've got all the right ingredients doesn't mean you're going to be a good chef. It's because we just don't use any of the sort of resources that we have in the right way. So I think if we started doing that, then, you know, we'd be a great club like you see with Brighton and like you see with Brentford, but we're not using our pros and the good things about us in the right way. So I think if we started doing that, we'd be absolutely fine, but we're not.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, and Jake, you've been waiting patiently, but yeah, what do you make to all that's been discussed? Any particular thoughts?
Yeah. The biggest thing that I'd probably say, and I think it was mentioned, is when we bought in Martin, we had no structure whatsoever. And I think the sort of Alex Neil sort of pressured bringing Ricky in to John Coates. And I don't get me wrong, I love the Coates family. I love what they've done for the club and everything. But I think there's a bit of naivety from John Coates and his lack of knowledge on how to run a football club to bring in someone like Ricky Martin straight away. Without going into too much detail, I know I have a connection who has a family member who's worked with Ricky Martin at Norwich in the past. And when, I think it was last year, I met this person and he said, "Oh, what's your thoughts on Ricky Martin?" And at the time it was looking positive. And I said to him, he seems to be doing well. He seems to be moving the club in the right direction. And he sort of just looked at me and went, okay. And I was always curious to know why he reacted that way. And over the past few weeks, it's starting to make sense. And I was reading a report earlier, an independent report about sort of his man management with everybody within the club and how he treated people. Very much quite nice to your face, but the moment he didn't agree with something or he didn't like what he saw or something, he was very quick to go behind that individual's back. And it stems from the Coates decision and like I say, John has obviously made a few decisions that haven't worked out over the years, and I think it was a panic appointment. I think we didn't look at who we should bring in. I think we brought in Alex Neil as a manager, and Alex has gone, "We need to have Ricky in," and we've gone, "Oh, okay, sure, let's talk to him," and it's become a thing. I think Dublin doesn't have any reason to be looked at for sacking. I think he can only do so much in his job. His job is to go out, find the players, get the stats and present them, and that's it. He doesn't have a final say on whether we go for that player or how much we pay or how much we offer. I think Dublin's very much the case that he's done his job, he's done his bit. And I think at first when I heard that Walters was appointed on interim basis, I was like, really? Like, why? I know he's obviously working towards his qualification or he's got his qualification, but now I'm actually sitting back and actually thinking about it, and I think actually it is a really smart move, because you can see his love for the club. He's openly says that he's doing stuff like the big sleep out and things, and I think that'll have a really positive effect on the atmosphere, especially with the fan base and with the players. And he obviously knows a few of the players like Campbell and the youngsters that have obviously were in and around the academy or just about coming in when he was sort of up and leaving. And I think that them seeing him and having that sort of club legend status, shall we say, I think will really sort of motivate them. But in terms of the players that we've brought in, there's definitely been Alex Neil signings. Daniel Johnson, for me, biggest, worst signing ever. I don't understand it, and I never had and never will. But the sort of Dublin signings like Vidigal, Ryan Mai, players like that, yeah, the situation with Ryan Mai over the past few weeks has not been great, but the guy's come out and said, "I've made a mistake, I'm going to correct it, I'm going to show improvement." The club were trying to get rid of him, and that was from Ricky Martin. Martin's gone, "Well, he's messed up his chances, let's get rid." And they've obviously caused a sort of gap in the relationship between the players and himself. And I think the next person, whether that's Walters on a permanent basis or whoever it may be, really needs to bring in that connection between the players and the fans, because at the moment, and this is no disrespect to the fans, including myself, when it's good, we're brilliant, we back them. When the one result doesn't go our way or the performance isn't great, we are very quick to jump on the players' backs. And that's down to the bad luck we've had over the years. And it's not, I'm not saying that we're a poor fan base, but we're still hurting. We've been hurting now for years. And we need to bring in that relationship between the players and the fan base, and that comes from whoever takes this position on a permanent basis and what he can do with it. Like Gareth Owen, I think, would be a brilliant appointment. If he wanted to step up, I think that'd be fantastic. He's a fan, he's a legend, everyone knows him, everyone knows what he's done for the academy, and I think that sort of person would be the right sort of person. Someone who can bring that connection between the players and the fan base closer together. But I just think that who gets that job is the final decision is down to obviously Coates. I get that, and that's what I'm worried about. I still feel like John Coates doesn't have enough experience of running the club yet to make these final decisions right. And I just think that we need some help from somewhere to help make these final decisions, whether there's a consultancy firm or anything like that that can come in and support or what. I don't know. I just don't have faith in him at the moment. And that's just my brutal honesty.
One thing on the Johnny Walters one, and it's not necessarily just to throw out a different opinion or a different approach to it, right? So, I mean, I'm with you. Like, Johnny Walters is a great guy, I think. Again, we all know what Johnny's about. You mentioned about the connection. I think Gareth Owen Dan is a great show, by the way. Because I think, as you've both pointed out, got the connection, got some good experience behind him, at least. So it's not like he's coming from an academy manager in terms of, like, you know, just you know, an actual football manager in the academy or something. He's got that level of authority. I think, you know, again, he's got the connection. I think that's a great shout. Now, I think the one thing with Johnny Walters as well is, I think it's a good bit of PR, let's be honest. I think there's a good bit of PR behind this. So I do think there's a large element of that. It's a nice way of softening the blow a little bit in terms of the bad news that, I mean, everyone's happy about it, but, you know, as far as the club are concerned, it's a good bit of PR for them. You know, he's a great guy. He loves the club. I think it was a bit of a no-brainer, a safe pair of hands, like you guys have all said, to see us throughout, you know, the rest of this season until, for me, a permanent head comes in. And as much as I love Johnny Walters, this is not a role for him. It's certainly not a role for him right now. And with, you know, with the greatest respect as well, as you said, to the fans, I've seen people say, we need someone experienced, we need someone who's got a proven director of football. But then some people are going, well, let's just bring in Johnny Walters permanently. I'm like, it's a bit contradictory. Like, you either want someone who's really experienced in that position, or you want somebody because he's played for the club and he bleeds red and white. Like, you might be able to get a balance with, obviously, the people we've been mentioning, but by and large, I think you've got to be careful going down the Bojan route. Luke, Bojan's a great one, and I know, Elliot, you weren't saying go and get Bojan. I appreciate that. But again, he's still early in that phase. Just because we liked him doesn't make him a good director of football option. So I do think I would want someone, you know what, give me someone who's boring. Give me who just does his job and gets his head down. We don't need any of anything from him other than these annual, you know, meetings with the Coates family and stuff like that. That'll do for me. But yeah, Gareth Owen is a city right now. I think he's towards the top of that list. And maybe John, it's an easy decision for John, potentially.
One thing I will say, just for, I'm going to read some comments out in a minute, but it's, on John Walters, if you look at the reasons and you know, the article on Team Talk today and the reasons that were listed there as to, you know, falling out with players, smile to your face, stab you in the back as soon as you turn around, that kind of thing. With John, we know that he is such he's got such an infectious personality, but he's such a nice guy as well. But at the same time, he will demand standards. You know that. So for right now, on the back of Ricky Martin, is he just the person we need? The person who's going to come up and say, well, no, we do things and we do things right. You do things properly. But at the same time, he's also, you know, going to be not as sympathetic, but just he's going to sort of, you know, hear people out and things like that. He's not going to go in there and be an arse, basically. Do you know what I mean?
He'll be a breath of fresh air, won't he? If this has been that poisonous, like you said, I think people will go in tomorrow and it'll be a weight lifted. And I'm not saying that that's going to have a direct impact on the pitch. I think it'd be interesting to see whether it has any impact at all. But as you said, I think as far as the feeling around the place and the staff members that are involved and stuff like that, if it really is as bad as it's being made out, then yeah, it'll be a breath of fresh air for everyone there.
But we've all come into contact with them kind of people, haven't we, in working environments? And it's like, you can imagine the players going in the canteen or something, and he walks in, and the atmosphere in the room just changes, don't you, when somebody like that walks into a room, when you know that they're like two-faced or whatever, or, you know, always looking to for the next sort of person, the victim, if you like. And like I say, I don't think they'll get that when John walks in the room. So it's, like I say, it'll just be a completely different sort of, like I say, just like a lighter, just the whole environment should just be more pleasant. And hopefully that they'll then reflect onto the pitch. But yeah, we've got quite a few comments here. And I've been really rubbish and not read any out. So I do apologise to people. Martin Eagles says, can't Peter just take the club off John until he starts behaving himself? I think he's a little bit old to be having his toys confiscated, Martin. but I do sort of get what you're saying there. But yeah, I think Peter's had his time, Antti, and I suppose Peter didn't get it right straight away, let's be honest. Did he? He needed a second crack at it, so hopefully this was John's first sort of bad go at it, if you like, and he'll come good now. John Oldfield says, does this affect the team morale in a good way or a bad way going forward? Is Martin responsible for the likes of Mai and Vidigal's rumoured issues with the management? Anything you think about that, Mike?
I think that's a Schumacher thing, to be honest. I don't necessarily think that's anything to do with Ricky. I think clearly, as I think Schumacher's come out and said, Antti, you know, Luke, the standards, you follow the standards or, well, you're out, basically. And I think that's what's happened. So I won't give Ricky that credit from there. I think that's Schumacher holding those standards.
Yep. At Bamber underscore SCFC says, personally, to Johnny Walters as a good short-term appointment. He'll bring the club back together. In the long term, I'd look for Michael O'Neill. So, yeah, a couple of them obviously mentioned Michael O'Neill. I think he'd be suited to the job. I just wonder, like I say, with the way he left the club and also he's back, you know, doing the Northern Ireland job and just sort of getting his teeth back into that, isn't he? So I don't think he'll be available right now. I think, you know, it'd be a while before he's sort of back on the market, I'd imagine. Kieran Downs 96 says, if it was him, he'd give John Walters the role permanently. I think we were just touching on that way before. At Danboy 2288, a win on Saturday would be massive now. Yeah, definitely. I think just for the supporters and the players, I think 3 points on Saturday, just morale-wise, to just give a massive boost, wouldn't it? And also, just keep us away from the relegation zone, because there's a couple of teams down the bottom there with a couple of decent games coming up. At DanPM87, it's a good move, as obviously it must have been rather toxic to make this move. I'm not sure how much of an impact this will have on the current situation, though very little, I guess. So Johnny Walters, hopefully a morale boost to the fans and to the players. Yeah, so we've sort of... Seb Maffei Turner says, super Johnny Walters. Yeah, well, what a love for Johnny Walters tonight. at SCFC Archie says, personally think Shuey starting low is a good decision. Needing to rest Ennis, it's only going to help Lowy's confidence. Yeah, I mean, we sort of touch on that on the pod that will come out obviously the preview for the weekend, when we look back, obviously, last weekend as well. But yeah, to me, I personally thought Nathan Lowe, don't tell me wrong, if we said he was starting every week now, I'd say no, it's too much. But I thought if we looked in isolation at the last start he had, which was Southampton, and then the start he had last weekend, I actually think he's a lot. I thought he'd come on leaps and bounds last weekend compared to then. Thought the way he put his body, the way he moved the ball when people actually got around him, I thought he was isolated a lot up front for long periods. But when he had people close to him, he was quickly moving the ball on. He was moving it into good areas. What I do think though is he still looks very nervous at times, especially when he's got time to think or when things. He has to take a few touches and that the ball can sort of bobble around his feet a bit. And I do think in time that will improve. The guy scored goals at every level he's been at. You know, goal-to-game ratios all through youth football. So he knows where the net is. Just needs the chances. And the fact he's 18, so for me, he's above. He's already above where he'd probably plan to be and where the club are planning to be at this stage to be in the first team. But like I say, he's not ready yet. But for me, he's definitely improving game on game, which is all you can ask for young players when they first start out. Yeah, that's my two penneth anyway. Sean Allen says he had to go now before he had any hand in next season's plans and transfers. Yeah, so I think we touched on that, didn't we, earlier on, that obviously pre-season, even the tours and things like that were starting to be planned. So, yeah, I'm sure transfers would have been on the agenda. So, yeah, it's got to be this. It had to be done now, didn't it, Mike? We had to just cut the ties with him now before his sort of fingerprints started coming into next season.
Yeah, like we said, we can't really afford for the summer to be a failure. I mean, obviously, I hate to say this, but we don't actually know what division we're going to be in yet. We all hope that we're going to be in the Championship still, right, obviously. And yeah, I'm sure that that's what we're planning for. I can't imagine anyone at the club has been as negative to think we're going to go down. I think they want to keep that positivity. So yeah, I agree with you. I think there's got to be an element of forward planning. How much Johnny Walters is going to have to say about that? Interesting. I'd love to be a fly on the wall. Don't know about you. I really would.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, Evan, just if this appointment goes sour, does it tarnish Walters' reputation at the club? And then Gaz FCFC Evans also says, if it is a safe pair of hands, Walters, surely that means he's good enough to have the role.
I think he's a confidence boost, and he's got the, again, I still think there's an element of PR in this. I really do. Like, no one's going to argue, as we proved tonight, no one's arguing with Johnny Walters coming in on a temporary basis. Someone's in permanent, so they can't lose by giving it to Johnny. Johnny maybe is a good experience for him, a chance for maybe him to prove himself even further at the club. You know, maybe this will give him a decent job and impresses. Maybe he'll be back in a more permanent capacity at some point in the future, in a more senior position. I think it's a good bit of spin at the same time. That's what I'm going to say.
The job in the short term and the job in the long term are two different jobs, really. In the short term, it's bang everyone's head together in the senior side and get everyone pulling in the right direction, make sure we don't go down and get us ready for the summer. In the long term, it's completely reshaping the club. You know, I think it's a big job for someone so inexperienced to have it full time. I think it's quite a shrewd appointment in the short term, though.
Yeah,
I think we touched as well, didn't we? And obviously referring back to the pod that will be out tomorrow, we refer to Neil Harris coming in at Millwall, and it's a very similar situation to that, isn't it? That no Millwall fan is going to argue with Neil Harris, a club legend, ex-manager, did well for the money management previously, coming back to this situation that they're in now, when there's a lot of toxicity in the Millwall fan base building up over, obviously, the past sort of this season's results. And they know that the appointments of that will unite the fan base and they'll be behind him because of who he is. It's that sort of, we've played the same card here, haven't we, and just quelling a lot of unrest or any potential unrest developing, and just, you know, putting a sort of club legend in there. The fans will just back right off that situation straight away.
Yeah, and also I think Johnny can't really lose from this either, because if Stoke do go down, which God hope they won't go down, he'll just go, well, look, I didn't oversee that operation for anything there, but I did. But maybe you could say, oh, well, I did this, and then he'll be able to take little bits out of it for future roles that he'd do. So I don't see how Johnny would ruin his reputation here if we do go down, because, like, at the end of the day, he's not sort of making those sort of big transfer calls that Ricky Martin was doing, and his reputation's gone down at Stoke because the majority of those were the wrong decisions. I mean, if you look at, like I said, the transfers, you look at even there was an article about pre-season in Stoke, and apparently the facilities weren't good enough, so it meant that, like, a player got injured using the gym equipment and things like this, and that's, you know, I think his job was to oversee all of that. So Yeah. I don't think Johnny's reputation would get affected by it at all. I think he would. I think he can't lose in this situation, and neither can the Coates family in this situation, because they're bringing back a club legend and that everyone likes.
Yeah, definitely. Anything else you want to add, Mike, before we wrap this up?
I think Jake just wants to come in quickly. So, Jake, go for it, mate.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate what Elliot's just said about Johnny coming in. I don't think whatever happens with Waters coming in on an interim basis, it affects the season whatsoever. What I will say is that we all know that obviously Waters is a nice guy. He's obviously got that good persona, and he'll be there to help the players and sort of build up that spirit. But I don't know if any of you sort of know this or have remembered the stories of this. Waters does have a bit of a mean streak in him. He's not afraid to speak his thoughts, and the situation with, I think, when he was playing for Ireland, and him and Roy Keane had a massive go at it because Roy Keane was giving a shit load of grief to a load of the players, and Waters actually stepped in and said to Roy Keane, who, let's be honest, I'm pretty sure not one person would have messed with him back in the day, and actually stood up for the team and said he was bang out of order. And I can honestly think that Waters is the sort of player that, the sort of person that will go into that into the ground or into the facilities tomorrow, and he'll probably sit and talk to them players, and he'll tell them that they're not good, they've not been good enough, and he'll tell them how important the fans are to this club, and what it means and what it's like to play when it's good. And I'm not going to say he's singling out players and things like that, but I think he will literally he'll go face to face with people, and I think he will scream at them and say to them, if you want to play for this club, if you want to be a successful part of this club, you need to die for this club, and that starts on the training ground, and then that works its way onto the pitch. So I think it's a very shrewd appointment, because, like I say, a lot of stories in the past with him sticking up against Roy Keane when he was managing with Martin O'Neill at Ireland. And, yeah, I mean, you've seen him scrap at the pitch when he's come off with busted heads with Huth and Shawcross and all that. He's not afraid to speak his mind. And I genuinely think that if any player doesn't put in some of the effort, along with Schumacher, he'll give him a massive kick up the arse, without a doubt.
I totally agree. Also, I think Schumacher and him will really get on. I think they've got a good sort of similar ideas. I don't know if that's just because they're both Scousers or not, but
well, they,
I think
they've both got from the same place, aren't they? They're both quite local.
Yeah, so they may have like a similar sort of background in terms of like how they, and I think that sort of reflects in their football in terms of how they want to play, be hard working and all of this. And yeah, you are right about John. He's got a good sort of nasty, he's got a nasty thing, but in a really good way. I mean, I think we can all agree. Like, I mean, he is funny on TV, but Roy Keane. So, like, if you can do so, he's doing it to somebody who's the best thing you can do to, because it shuts them up. It's like sort of standing up against a bully. You're not the bully. You are standing up against them. And I feel like he'd do a really good job of that at Stoke. I think there's certain players, like, I mean, we know how good Vidigal can be, but he seems to only want to play in the sunshine. So, you know, there is like things like that as well, where you can give people a kick up the arse.
Yeah, I wouldn't put his bet up against Wesley, though. I think Wesley might do him in. It's the one player I probably wouldn't recommend him starting against.
Whatever you do, Elliot, please will you just not hold back, mate? Please speak your mind. our sponsor has just dropped us, by the way. So yeah, you just take the whole place down. I'm joking.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't worry about it. We'll use the magic bleeper, don't you worry. honestly, we could probably talk forever on this. There's so many different ways. Dan, is there anything else you want to finish off with? I'm just conscious we said half an hour. It's been 55 minutes, so probably about time we wrap this up. Because
no, I think we've covered, and we've pretty much covered everything we set out to do. I think, it's just, like I say, we've got till the summer, so there's plenty of time to do the adequate sort of background checks and everything on people, and, you know, make sure they pick the right person, whether that's somebody in-house, somebody outside the club, even the person they give the role to now, whoever they decide, you know, make sure they get the best man for the job, really, haven't
they? Yeah, absolutely. Well, Luke, thanks to everyone who's obviously joined us. Thanks for everyone who spoke, left comments. Sorry we can't get to all of them. Obviously, there's been loads. So I'll let all of you go to sleep. This will be out in the morning. This will be out shortly anyway for you to listen back to if you have completed partway through. The normal preview pod will be out at 6 a.m. as always as well. So, yeah, get yourselves to sleep. Dream of 3 points against Cardiff and everything turning round and Schumacher being, the god again. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? So let's go to bed on a positive. Guys, enjoy the rest of your evening. Fingers crossed things turn around pretty quickly.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.